Ground Cover News is a nonprofit street paper that was founded in April 2010 as a means to empower low-income persons to make the transitions from homeless to housed and from jobless to employed. Vendors purchase each copy of the Ground Cover News regular edition at our office for 50 cents. This money goes towards production costs. Vendors work selling the paper on the street for $2, keeping all income and tips from each sale. This audio production was made possible by the Ann Arbor District Library, recorded at Fifth Avenue Studios. If you consistently enjoy Ground Cover Speaks, continuing to buy physical newspapers from Ground Cover vendors ensures that we can sustain production. The physical paper and in-person interaction is at the heart of our work. You can find the link to our next audio recording in the upcoming print issue of Ground Cover News. Thanks for listening.
Special thanks to our print advertisers, the People's Food Co-op, St. Francis of Assisi Parish, First Baptist Church, Bethlehem United Church of Christ, the Office of Community and Economic Development, Cineholic, Art on a Journey, Ann Arbor for Public Power, Four Directions, and the Ypsilanti Food Co-op.
City of Ann Arbor proclaims Vendor Appreciation Week 2025 by the Ground Cover staff. On February 3rd, the first day of Ground Cover's annual Vendor Appreciation Week, vendors, staff, volunteers, and board members gathered in Ann Arbor's council chambers for the city council meeting. The first item on the agenda was a special proclamation. Mayor Christopher Taylor called the Ground Cover representatives to the podium and read the following message. Whereas Ground Cover News is a street newspaper that provides quality news and features to the Ann Arbor community since July 2010, and whereas Ground Cover News, a 501c3, empowers and supports low-income community members to make the transition from homeless to housed and from jobless to employed, and whereas Ground Cover News is a member of the international network of street papers that believes everyone, everywhere, deserves freedom, community, home, dignity, and hope, and whereas Ground Cover News provides training and support for vendors to increase their skills and ability to navigate challenges, and whereas Ground Cover News and vendors provide an invitation to build meaningful relationships in the community, and whereas stories in Ground Cover News have been inspiring and transformational to vendors and community members who read the paper, and whereas Ground Cover News and vendors add to the quality of life in the Ann Arbor and Washtenaw County community, and whereas the week of February 2nd, 2025 is observed as Ground Cover News Vendor Appreciation Week. Now, therefore, I, Christopher Taylor, Mayor of Ann Arbor, Michigan, do hereby proclaim the week of February 2nd, 2025 as Ground Cover Vendor Appreciation Week. I call upon Ground Cover News, staff, volunteers, and the Ann Arbor community to join us in the celebration and to greet and support Ground Cover vendors. After handshakes and remarks from vendors Joe Woods and Terry DeMar, the Ground Cover crew went on their way, some to continue paper sales downtown and others to get some rest to prepare for the festivities planned for the week. Thank you to Mayor Taylor and the council for recognizing the vendors and their contributions to Ann Arbor and the Washtenaw County community.
El coyote te cobra $10,000 por venir a los Estados Unidos. Y si haces algo, aquí la policía te denuncia ante migración. Tenemos representantes latinos en altas instituciones del gobierno de Estados Unidos, de América, como la jueza Sonia Sotomayor y los miembros del Congreso Van Menéndez, Marco Rubio, Ten Cruz y Mario Díaz-Balá. ¿Qué hacen los latinos con las personas trabajadoras, las personas humildes, las personas pobres que viven, que vienen a este país en busca del sueño americano?
City of Ypsilanti funds relocation of homeless residents displaced by Water Street remediation. This is Cynthia Price, and I'm reading this article by Lindsay Kalka, the publisher of Ground Cover News. On January 17th, Marie woke up with a letter taped to her car. The letter was from PATH, Washtenaw County's Projects for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness. informing her that her tent was scheduled to be cleared from the Water Street property on Friday, January 31st. In the letter, Path offered help moving her campsite if she wanted it. Does this sound familiar? In a January 26, 2024 article, Ground Cover News reported on a threatened sweep of the same site, the same campers, for the same reason, remediation and redevelopment of Water Street in downtown Ypsilanti. Community response to this threatened sweep resulted in an indefinite delay. Council called off the scheduled work until a better approach could be formulated. A year passed with no intervention, and ironically, the sweep was scheduled for the second time in the last week of January 2025, the coldest week of the year. So the Tuesday after the letter was posted, January 21st, 2025, concerned community members attended the Ypsilanti City Council meeting and participated in public comment to urge council to call off the sweep again. Councilmember Amber Fellows introduced a discussion regarding the Water Street fence repair and tree removal. In this discussion, the city employees argued against further delays of the remediation work because of time-sensitive funding and potential ramifications from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The Water Street property is mostly contaminated land that cannot be formally occupied, developed, or used until all the contaminated soil is removed and replaced. The first step to this process was removing trees and repairing fences, work that could not be scheduled until homeless residents were removed. Council decided to delay the work by 2 weeks and make an effort to problem solve with Washtenaw Camp Outreach and the affected campers, to get more information on the scheduled work, and to research available city properties for relocation. What the public hears. 3 days later, on January 24th, Ypsilanti's Communication Department published a release titled, "The City of Ypsilanti is Moving Forward with the Water Street Redevelopment Area." The press release outlined the funding source for this project, which is a combination of time-sensitive funds from MDEC and HUD's Economic Development Initiative. The press release continued with a timeline for the work that would be done in 2025 and the funding sources for each of these steps. This is a long-awaited project on one of the city's last pieces of undeveloped property. We are excited to leave it better than we found it, redevelop it, and return it to the city's tax rolls, making it profitable for the city of Ypsilanti and benefiting its residents, said Mayor Nicole Brown in the release. This funding is crucial for the redevelopment of the Water Street project, as it provides us with the unprecedented opportunity to address the contamination on the property and prepare it for future development. By excavating and revitalizing this site, we are removing environmental hazards and paving the way for new opportunities, said Andrew Hellinga, city manager of the city of Ypsilanti. The press release contained no reference to the potential delay or displacement, signaling the threat of the sweep was truly imminent. Negotiating compensation. Friday, January 31st, Councilmember Steve Wilcoxon, Councilmember Amber Fellows, and City Manager Andrew Hellinga met with Washtenaw Camp Outreach members Jim Clark and Sherry Wander, Country, who lives on Water Street, and KJ from Homelessness Solidarity Network. WCO presented demands from the campers, which, in sum, was compensation for the displacement from their homes. The city representatives claimed that they couldn't do much themselves, but offered to reach out to PATH, Washtenaw County commissioners and staff, and even donate personal items. After the close of the meeting, Wander reflected, "They walked away with an acknowledgement that they need to take personal and institutional responsibility for the situation we're in." Tuesday, February 4th, the scheduled follow-up discussion during the city council meeting arrived quickly. This time, there was more community support. Activists spoke and waited the long 2 hours through other items on the agenda. After disappointing repetition of the information shared at the January 21st and January 31st meetings, to the surprise of the attendees, Councilmember Patrick McLean moved to allocate $7,500 from unspent staff salaries for relocation assistance costs for the homeless residents of Water Street. And the motion unanimously passed after clarifying discussion. Funds will be spent at the discretion of the city manager, informed by the needs of the current residents of Water Street. Examples of possible relocation costs would be replacement camping supplies, hotel stays, or storage fees. What remains unsettled can be summarized in the title of the previous Ground Cover report on this story, "Go Where?" It is illegal to camp without permission on private property, and it is illegal to sleep overnight in public parks and other public land. especially during the spring, summer, and fall seasons when there are no shelter options in Ypsilanti. Homeless residents have nowhere to go. The $7,500 is an emergency allocation. Considering the January 7th resolution towards establishing a permanent shelter in the city and the February 4th motion tasking the Planning Commission to research public land for safe tenting, Council seems to be shifting its priorities towards housing and shelter and the well-being of its constituents.
Surviving 7 Degrees by Jim Clark, ground cover vendor number 139. At the time of this writing, January 21st, 2025, the outside temperature is 7 degrees Fahrenheit. People who have been sleeping outside are now seeking emergency shelter in the same way a drowning person would seek a life preserver. Sometimes that life preserver is a motel stay. Motels provide shelter for especially vulnerable people, the elderly, differently abled, ill, marginalized people, or families. During 7-degree weather, motels and overnight sheltering programs are critical to saving lives. Something people experience when unsheltered is being constantly in fight-or-flight mode because sleeping outside or in a homeless shelter is simply dangerous. Also, the panic of not knowing where you're going to sleep keeps you in a high-alert state, which can persist even after finding safe shelter. In order for shelter to be effective, it must include safety and solitude so a person can enter rest and digest mode. Further, people experiencing homelessness who are using the sheltering system have very little solitude. This wears people down psychologically, making the collective homeless community environment stressful, hostile, and physically unsafe. Spending money on alleviating the need for solitude translates to a higher survival rate beyond just shelter from the cold. In the coldest of winter months, members of Washtenaw Camp Outreach, the nonprofit Mission, and other homeless solidarity organizations operate a program called Weather Amnesty, located in a house to hospitality in Ann Arbor. Because of the dangerously cold weather, people who had been sleeping in tents, in abandoned buildings, or on the street started showing up in droves. Overcrowding in the county shelter, the Delana Center, has been an issue for a few weeks now, and the safety of the shelter system is failing. Furthermore, the Housing Access of Washtenaw County, HAWC, was going to close on Tuesday the 21st and Wednesday the 22nd due to the extreme cold. HAWC is the organization that is charged with referring our unsheltered citizens to the agencies and information that can help. Vocal members of the Continuum of Care were able to overturn the decision and HAWC opened back up on Wednesday. Fortunately, amidst the weather emergency, a few people were in the right place at the right time and had the same idea. About 3 p.m. on Monday, January 20th, I was asked by the WCO team to reach out to Washtenaw County Commissioner Annie Somerville to see if there was help available from the county. As she checked with her team, she mentioned that Dan Kelly, director of the Delana Center, could help with sheltering as well. The Shelter Association did not have an option for immediate motel shelter, but Kelly was able to lift trespass notices so that people could access Delana's emergency overnight shelter services. Clients at the Delana Center who commit egregious violations of the rules are banned for a certain amount of time. Kelly temporarily exempted them from trespass in order to accommodate their survival. Shortly after that, Commissioner Somerville replied, "With Washtenaw County funds, she secured 10 motel rooms, and then she put me in touch with Ashley Hall, the Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners Operations and Communications Manager, who was able to secure 10 more rooms for the next day." Hall said this about her role, "It is my responsibility to help with commissioner properties, and the top priority of the Board of Commissioners is housing and homelessness. Commissioner Somerville believes it is critical that the most vulnerable members of our community have a safe, warm, and secure place to stay throughout the year, but especially during the weather emergencies. I'm glad that I was able to work with you and to help identify options for emergency sheltering." In the late afternoon of the 20th, WCO and Weather Amnesty teams began picking up people from the daytime warming centers and from their tents and taking them to safety. At this time, I'd like to give a shout out to and honor the efforts of the key players. To the WCO weather amnesty teams, make no mistake, you are heroes. Not just to me, but to all of the housed and unhoused members of our street community. Props to you all. Special thanks to some of the drivers, Kay, Dax, and CP for transportation support and food provision. To Sienna and Eric of Weather Amnesty, who held down the fort at Purple House while we shuttled people to safety. And to CL and AG for keeping track of it all. Also, thank you to the staff of the Extended Stay America and Days Inn for their considerate and professional service. Barbara Laster Bell, concierge at Days Inn, mentioned that it was heartening and encouraging to see a community of people come together to save their neighbors from the cold. Finally, a shout out to the allied activist communities of Shelter Now and the Washtenaw General Defense Committee. Thank you for your continued work in housing and social justice and championing the mission to end homelessness at its source.
How Did You Sleep Last Night by Ken Parks, Ground Cover Vendor 490. When I was first homeless in Ann Arbor in 2018, I did not realize it because I had so many safe spots. I was a journeyman union painter in Ypsilanti in the Ypsitucky world from 1977 to 1981. I discovered the Kagyu Tibetan Buddhist Center in January 1980 and quickly became a practitioner. The meditation on compassion became a life focus. The People's Food Co-op in Ann Arbor was an important community from the day one. I was still based in Detroit, sharing a home and helping raise four kids. I also shared a two-bedroom in Ipsy with one of my painter friends. I soon had a room in the Buddhist Center, so I had three homes at once. As I experienced Ann Arbor in 2018, two garages and one in the YMCA quickly became kinds of homes. Mercy House, the Breakfast Church, St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, and Delano's became backup spots. As Peggy at Mercy House put it, being homeless would not be so bad if you didn't need to sleep. There is so much to do in Ann Arbor that homeless folk disappear during wakeful hours. If you need to sleep homeless, you are in trouble. If you have no secure lodging, your choice will be the park or the alley. You may search a wooded area for a spot. If you are handy, you can put up a tent, build a lean-to, or sleep in the open. Hopefully you have a sleeping bag or two. You learn to be a camper. In my experience, how well you sleep is more important than where you sleep. A good night's sleep is a treasure of energy. The relationship of location and quality is complex. For over 3 years, I've had a efficiency apartment in a location where it is difficult to make a home. Avalon Housing, who runs it, is lost in a bureaucratic quagmire, and in all honesty, I must say that I don't get a great night's sleep there. In my memory, the best sleep I experienced was in West Park in the adjacent woods behind Miller and Forest Fountain. I had a welcoming tree as a companion. Also excellent was most of the sleep on a futon in a garage loft on 3rd Street. It becomes obvious that housed or unhoused is not the decisive factor you might think. It's more like, where are you at home in your body? Sleeping near the earth may be more important than a legal roof over your head. Sometimes homeless people sleep better than housed people. The best literature on this is an article by Christopher Ellis in the November 15th, 2022 Ground Cover, titled Housed, Unhoused, or Homeless. Reality is never what you think it is, as most of us discover to our dismay when we realize that our expectations may have little to do with the outcomes of actions. The socialization process creates many taboos and illusions that reside in our sub and unconscious, as Freud and others have shown. I think Ernest Becker has done good anthropological science in looking at Homo sapiens' increasing propensity for evil and the cultural need to be or worship heroes who have defeated death in battle or mastered the key to eternal life. Shamans become priests as bureaucracy corrupts our natural power into opportunistic power. A culture which promotes belief in the seen world but ignores the unseen is not able to experience the completeness of reality. Data are helpful in the proper context, but without it, they're worthless. I recommend two of Becker's books, The Denial of Death is a landmark book of the 1970s, and his final book, Escape from Evil, is a great companion book to his search for a science of Homo sapiens. His quest to analyze and critique the large amount of anthropological and archaeological data is amazing. His intellectual work brings art and science together for a creative view of our evolution and history over the past estimated 300,000 years. Our awareness of death is largely repressed through cultural norms that feed on our desire to continue the experience of this body as if there is no end in sight. We are now struggling with the extremes of eternalism and nihilism. Buddhism proposes the middle path, which avoids those extremes. The view of a permanent soul as a separate reality captures many Christians, Muslims, and other theists. What is it separate from? If the answer is the highest and most powerful God, what does it mean to be a believer? If sin is separation, is this separate soul an illusion? Is there an all-good expanse of primordial purity that is not separate, but yet our true nature? These are the issues that mindfulness training may resolve. When you observe your breath, you will come to the question, who is the observer? When you observe your state of mind, what is the nature of the observer to the observed? We know from physics, Heisenberg uncertainty principle shows that the act of observation influences the experiment. Therefore, you cannot know the precise location and velocity of a particle at the same time. You must choose one or the other. In meditation, resting at ease in the natural state is difficult largely due to our habit of self and other projections. Look for a teacher who is at ease with observing the observer and can help you reach a single-minded focus on the experience of a calm and clear mind. The Karmakagyu Tibetan Buddhist meditation masters have been the most helpful for me. Christian believers like the Berrigan brothers, Thomas Merton, and Martin Luther King are important examples of Jesus as a living presence and guide to a life of truth and love. As Dion Fortune from the Fraternity of Inner Light taught, love is the law. Facing reality is a task for every Homo sapiens. Cultivate your inner confidence that we can do this together. You must do it yourself, but you don't do it alone. Tune into the earth, water, and sky. You will sleep well surrounded by all the holy beings of your creative imagination, which invites them into your dreams.
Trump's second term as president, Scoop Stevens. Now that I've had time to process the fact that Americans have elected Donald J. Trump as president again and what this might mean for homelessness in the United States, the conclusion that I came to is that everything will go wrong for Trump, and by the end of his presidency, he will wish that he had never run for office again. The racist real estate developer Donald Trump will witness our nation being fundamentally transformed, and none of this will be to his liking. Martin Luther King said that the arc of history leans towards justice. The National Reconstruction Project that began in 1865 will come to its fruition during Trump's second term as president because, I believe, circumstances will dictate a downsizing of our empire. We'll therefore get more towards the Republican form of government that our founders intended. Then we'll concentrate on our own national character. The National Reconstruction Project that began with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments got off to a slow start. After 50 years from 1915, President Woodrow Wilson was showing a Ku Klux Klan film, The Birth of a Nation, in the White House. The film is about white people in the North and the South having a conflict, but now they are reunited in the cause of white supremacy. Reconstruction's early setbacks led the nation to become involved in World War I, which was a prelude to World War II. Then came the Cold War with Russia, with no end in sight for America's entanglement in wars that it really doesn't need to be involved in. Did Reconstruction's early failure really lead to the United States becoming involved in all these wars? I believe that it did, because these were national amendments that were meant to reconstruct the nation. When this didn't happen, it resulted in a golden age with great inequalities of wealth and many evils, including endless wars to protect the interest of the money class. This in turn caused increased homelessness. The elderly homeless problem was supposed to be solved by the Social Security Act of 1935. I have discovered that not having to pay rent was the solution for my homelessness. I don't make that much money, but I do need that much money because I do not have to pay rent. Would rent-free living be a solution for homelessness on a larger scale? I believe that it would, because we really do not need a parasitical landlord class oppressing us. Now that I'm old enough to collect Social Security, I choose not to, because if I collect Social Security, I will have to give up my rent-free HUD-BASH veterans program, housing voucher, and pay rent. When white Americans finally come to the realization that their fate is tied into the well-being of their black neighbors, the final stage of national reconstruction will have arrived. I believe this will happen during Trump's second term as president.